You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Well, hello there.
Well, hello, Paul.
Ladies and gentlemen. Today, we have a very special episode. Why? You know why if you've been on Facebook. Because the drone registration, part 48, the thing that we said for a long time would go away, has gone away.
It's actually hard to believe.
Why is that?
Well, because we just... why is that? Because I didn't think that the courts would see it that way. Even though that's the right way to see it, it's just... surprising.
Definitely. Well, we thought it was going to be really important to have John Taylor, who was behind this case. He fought the FAA to say, look, Congress said you can't make rules against model aircraft, and you did. The court came down with a ruling, an opinion, and they said, FAA, nope, you can't do it. So we thought it would be really good to have John Taylor on himself to discuss, you know, why did you do this? How are you feeling now that you've won? How will this affect the industry? I think it's really important, Rob.
It is really important. I was actually really curious to know his or to hear his feelings about just the law. And ultimately what he said was it's actually a very simple case. And so it doesn't sound like he was surprised because the law is so clear. And yet, even though that has been the ruling, there's still some uneasiness about will that actually be the end result is what I heard.
Definitely.
So it'll be interesting to see what you guys hear.
It will be interesting. In fact, before we waste any more time, let's just go right to the interview. Hey guys, welcome. We've got John Taylor here on the show via phone just to give us an idea of his perspective after winning the case. John, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Oh, and I think what you've done is truly remarkable. I mean, you have taken the bull by the horns, you have challenged the FAA, and you have won. How does it feel?
Well, I'm glad to have won this for the hobby. And, you know, as you know, I know you've had Jonathan Rupert on your show. This was a group effort. He and Peter Sachs and Loretta Alkaway and some other people have been involved in this in the background as consultants and editors and everything, but it's been a long haul, and we'll see where it goes from here.
Definitely. Now, a lot of people have said that this could create more confusion. Lester Holt went on NBC News and even said that if you own a drone, no need to register it anymore, without really kind of clarifying hobby versus commercial use. So can you help us understand what, you know, this new ruling takes away drone registration, but it's only for hobbyists. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I hadn't heard that quote from him. I mean, hopefully, you know, if you're a commercial drone operator, you've also become sort of a part-time lawyer, unfortunately. Unfortunately, you'll know that you still have to register.
Gotcha. No, it's very interesting. So I've heard a lot of things on Facebook. Some people are saying that maybe hobbyists should still register their drones. Since we've seen this ruling happen, you know, Section 336 says that, hey, you know, hobbyists are supposed to follow CBO guidelines, community-based organization guidelines. So even though we still don't have drone registration, will hobbyists still have to follow these CBO guidelines? Will they still have to have a phone number? Will they still have to have, you know, more information on their drone? Or are the days of writing numbers on our drones just gone?
Well, I'm not going to give anybody legal advice on it. And it's actually a little unclear as to whether the voiding of that regulation is immediate, because there's something called a mandate where the opinion comes down and then there's another document that says, yes, this is actually the court's ruling. And I haven't researched, and frankly, I'd had no experience in that court before, so I'm not quite sure how that's all going to work out. As far as how to comply with existing law, and I've commented on this a couple of times in various places, you know, the reason this is such an active area for discussion is the FAA has done such a bad job of making it so confused and convoluted and contradictory that, you know, I defy anybody to figure it out in many cases. We don't know what the law is. They haven't defined what a CBO is exactly. They haven't defined what, you know, operating within the programming means. You know, I don't know what the law is.
Interesting, interesting.
I mean, the best advice you can give anybody is to, you know, basically fly safely. I mean, follow the old AC-9157 rules and, you know, fly low, fly away from people, fly away from aircraft, and have a nice day.
I think that's very good information and very good advice. Do you think that this, I guess maybe the better question is, how will this ruling affect hobbyists in the future, and how will it affect really the drone industry as a future? I know separating those two things is important, but I'm really interested to hear your take on how things will proceed in the future.
Well, that's the big unknown, and a lot of people are legitimately concerned and very concerned that this is going to spur Congress to take action in the reauthorization. That's a very legitimate concern. The timing of this was very unfortunate. I mean, my hope has been all along is that a ruling will come down at a time when there's a lull in the paranoia and a lull in congressional activity, and it just kind of, you know, people would move on. But with the timing of the Reauthorization Act, who knows what they're going to do. But this is certainly a time for people to get active and contact their congressmen, and that really does make a difference, and let them know how they feel. And, you know, some of the talking points, I think the most important talking point is the stellar safety record that our hobby has. You know, I like to point out that as far as I've been able to determine and to date, no American has ever been seriously injured by a hobby drone. People have been hurt, they cut themselves and bruises, and one lady got a concussion. But when you compare that to something like recreational ATVs, where dozens of people die every year, and personal watercraft, where dozens of people die every year, I mean, it becomes apparent that there really isn't a problem here. It's just a paranoia over a new technology.
It's very interesting that you say that, because we received a memo today that the FAA asked us to put out, and it's actually very interesting in how they speak about this ruling and whether people should accept it or not. And one of the things that they said is that the FAA created this rule because drones were being seen close to aircraft, the number of sightings was increasing rapidly, and they wanted the genuine safety of the national airspace system. And a lot of people on Facebook and whatnot have been questioning whether registration truly does help out the genuine safety of, you know, hobbyist flyers.
Well, as far as I've been able to ascertain, no one has ever been held accountable as a result of the registry. I did a FOIA request to them, and this is a while back, but I asked them, do you have any documentation of ever, you know, show me the documentation you have of tracing model aircraft using the registry. And after some delays, and on the day that my reply brief was due, they mailed a response to me that said, yeah, we got nothing.
Wow.
And when I challenged them on it, you know, throughout the litigation, they changed the subject. They never say, well, we've traced this many model aircraft that way. So I assume that they probably have traced no one.
Interesting. Very.
And I think most of us, when this whole thing got started, we knew that it was a political feel-good measure. You know, people are not going to fly recklessly with their registration number on their model aircraft. I mean, nobody's quite that stupid.
So let me ask you this. I've seen a lot of polls out online on whether, you know, pilots believe that hobbyists should register or not. And I've kind of seen a shift in mentality myself. We asked the same question, you know, before registration happened, and everyone said that registration, they didn't believe that it would actually help safety out whatsoever. And now if you look at the polls that were just kind of done this weekend, I know you've seen them, Vic Moss posted a lot of them, and I'm seeing a large group of people saying that they actually think registration for drones is a good idea. So it's kind of like a shift in mentality here, you know, once registration was enacted, versus before it was enacted. So I guess that my question to you is, what do you think would be the answer to the people who say, well, then if we're not going to have registration as a means to create a catalyst towards safety or to create a means of educating people to safety, my question to you is, what could be a good way to answer those naysayers when they say, well, how are we going to ensure safety in the national airspace system?
There's two prongs to it, education and enforcement, and enforcement is more challenging of the two. But on education, it is a little frightening that people can get on Amazon and have a fairly large drone delivered the next day and be flying it that afternoon and not do anything to try to educate themselves on it. I think that the industry can do more with that. And one of the things I'd like to see is for the larger drone manufacturers to have educational materials on their websites that you would have to at least review and acknowledge, if not take a quiz, to be able to link in and start operating the drone. People wouldn't like that, but I think that would do a lot towards educating people and having them fly safely. And I think it should be voluntary. You know, if they step up to the plate, we won't have a need for, you know, the United States federal government to come in and start imposing things. So that's what I'd like to see. And on the enforcement end, yeah, it's a challenge. I don't know what to say, but I don't think this registration, you know, it doesn't do anything. You and I know you go on YouTube and you can find people flying recklessly pretty easily.
Oh yeah.
And the FAA isn't doing anything about the people that they could, the low hanging fruit, you know, as we call it, that they could go after. As you also probably recall, a while back they were going after people who were posting stuff on YouTube that were flying safely and telling them that they had to have, you know, a 333 because it was a professional use. So they've gone from one extreme of using YouTube to just oppress people to then not using it when it would be a very good tool for them to find some bad actors.
That makes sense. Well, I know you are on a busy schedule, my friend, and I just want to say before this last question, I really appreciate what you have done in standing up for the industry as a whole, because a lot of people are missing the whole ideology that you fought something just because you want government to do what's right and you want to hold people accountable, and I know that that's important. So my last question for you, John, is do you think that the FAA will end up appealing this decision?
I'm not sure. If they do appeal it, I think they would appeal it as a stalling tactic so that they could argue to have a stay of enforcement on it. I don't think they would appeal it because they think they could win on the law. It has always been painfully simple. You know, Congress said, do not do this, and the FAA went and did it anyway. And that's pretty much what the court said. It took them a while to answer that question, but it's a very simple case, and I don't think they would have any hope of winning.
No, I think you are 100% right, sir. Well, is there anything else that you would like to leave our listeners with?
I don't think so, but thanks for the opportunity to talk to you.
Oh, John, thank you for coming on the show. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you for standing up for drone hobbyists, for people who just love to fly. You are a hero in many of our books, sir.
Thanks, Paul.
Sounds good. Well, we will talk to you again soon. And guys, back to the studio for more. All right, Rob, well, you heard it. What do you think? I mean, I think it's really clear a couple things. Number one, we saw in the FAA memo that they say, hey, we don't accept this ruling yet. Well, wake up call, guys. So it's the law, but something that's really important that John said is like, look, the judge has to release the legal document that says, look, we've already had our ruling and our opinion, but we need to actually make it official.
Well, of course, but I just kind of wonder, okay, so what if I got in trouble for something? Let's call it speeding. And I go to the court and the judge says, yep, you were speeding. You need to do X. Can I just say, I don't accept that, judge. Why does that work for the FAA?
That's a really good question.
No. I don't get that.
I don't like how you are calculating speed. I use meters per second. So,
right.
No.
Yeah, I'm from Europe. You guys use miles per hour. We use metric.
No, ne mówić angielski. I don't speak English.
I don't know what he said.
I don't accept your ruling. I don't speak your language.
I admire Mr. Taylor, and he mentioned some of the colleagues that worked with him on this. And
Now we know where John Rupert's been.
Yeah, right. Well, and I think he alluded to that early on when we were talking to him months and months and months ago. But they put a lot of work into this. And my assumption, and I don't know this, we didn't ask him, maybe you know, but I don't believe they were getting paid by anybody to do this,
no.
right?
No, so John Rupert wasn't getting paid. Loretta, and I'm probably going to butcher your last name, and I'm sorry. I believe it's Alkalay. Loretta Alkalay. She used to be legal counsel for the FAA. And then Peter Sachs. We all remember mm-hmm. Peter Sachs, although... It's interesting. It's actually kind of interesting to see who all has like worked together, because some of these people have differing views on specific subjects, which isn't unusual. But to see them all team up together, I think it sends a really strong message. And from us to you guys, thank you. Seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, long time ago, Peter Sachs was in my corner. I think he still is. I'm not sure. When I went and did the Pittsburgh Marathon, you remember that?
I do.
That was like 2013.
I remember that
14.
Footage. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was there backing me up, and he's always been someone helping out the community. In fact, he founded the UAV Legal News Group. So
very cool.
Very cool people. John, thank you so much for coming on the show. We really do appreciate it. Guys, I hope this information helped you out. If you know someone who's talking about registration, share this podcast with them, because you're going to get to hear from the source. You get to hear the nitty-gritty details, and hopefully it paints a better picture for what's really going on out there.
Yeah, and you mentioned something in the interview, Paul, where you said that the environment has changed and that more and more people are actually thinking that registration is a good idea, which is a little bit surprising. So I'm really curious to hear from our listeners as to what they think.
Yeah.
About, is this a good thing or is it not? I mean, I think it is.
I think this is an overall a great thing, and I think the reason why is principle, Rob.
It's a bigger picture issue.
Exactly. The
right.
FAA overstepped their ability. They pulled the Trump. They, they overstepped what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now they're being kind of shocked back in position. I really wonder what's going to happen to the industry as a whole. How is it going to affect commercial registration? Because even though everyone is saying this doesn't affect commercial registration, if you guys remember, in December of last year, they created, or maybe it was 15, I can't remember. In December, when they created the registration for drones,
mm-hmm.
remember how that morphed into now you can register your commercial drones in this online portal?
Right.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Using the same system. So I really wondered the validity of Part 48 and the online registration system for Part 107.
Hmm. So because we've encouraged people to register their drones commercially through 47.
Mm-hmm.
So for those that went ahead with 48, you're questioning the validity of that registration.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think that would be another one to have John Rupert on the show to kind of talk about that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, does that mean that only Part 47 registrations are valid for 107 then? Or like, how does it affect it? And I think
it's a really interesting question.
I think people have a lot of questions about this ruling. And I think the FAA is probably waking up in Washington this morning going like, all right, what's our game plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they've got 10 people sitting around a table. One thing I will say is that one idea that I really, really liked hearing from him, especially hearing kind of a digital native answer from John Taylor, who I wouldn't expect that from, is when he says, I would love to see the manufacturers implement some sort of pre-flight before, like the first time you activate your drone, you get this message that says, here are the rules of your country. Here's what you can and can't do. Are you agreeing to use that? And he said he would like to see it as voluntary so it doesn't feel forced on people. I think that would be great.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I think it would be really cool.
It makes me think of somebody that has GPS in your car in the screen, right? And it says, I don't know that many cars do it before, but I had a Subaru that had that. And every time I turned the car on, it would give me this whole disclaimer, make sure I agreed to that bit of information with regards to driving safely, et cetera. And I had to click OK in order to get through the GPS.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me think of that whole system.
Which is really funny because he brought up the whole analogy of look at ATVs, look at cars, you know,
right.
Like look at all these other things that kill people all the time. And yet they're not registered.
They're not registered. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. I understand the difference there. We need to be intelligent about this and making those kind of analogies, because obviously on an ATV, you're talking about one person, maybe two people, maybe three, right? Whereas drones, you're talking about going into a crowd. And so
why couldn't you go into a crowd with an ATV?
You can, but the likelihood is significantly less.
Okay. Good point.
And I'm not arguing for it, but I just want to be intellectually honest about some of these comparisons that we make.
Well, true. And I think if we are going to be honest and we're going to call a spade, you know, the FAA said that, hey, look, we came out with registration as an answer to safety. We want to keep the national airspace system safe. And when we asked John, and which his answer is very similar to most pilots, how does registration keep the airspace safe? And it doesn't.
Well, and you were pounding the rooftops with that from day one.
Yeah. And another thing too to really to focus on is, you know, okay, well, if registration isn't the answer to safety, FAA, what is the answer? Because they talk about being genuine and authentic. And look, I want the safety of the airspace too.
We all do.
I'm not trying to be anti-FAA because I'm anti-safety. That's not true at all.
Right.
What I'm saying is, you know, this kind of goes back to the whole millennial versus geriatric in my mind, because I hate being called millennial, and I'm sure old people hate being called geriatric. So, ha! Anyway, that being said, this kind of reminds me of, you know, millennials like to be judged not by how much time they put into things, but rather how much they get done. And I think that's really important for the FAA to think, okay, if we really care about the national the safety of the national airspace system,
which we believe they do,
which I do believe that they do, mm-hmm. how do you do that efficiently? And I think the answer was just given to them by the guy who shut them down. So I think the answer is in app before you fly. I think that would really help people too, because most people that I see when they get a drone for the very first time, they're so giddy, they're so excited. Oh, I just want to go out and fly. And look, I'm guilty of it too. When I got the Inspire 2, I went outside and like as I'm setting it up, I'm like, oh, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. I didn't do this.
I have
it's
the answer.
Human.
I have the answer.
Yes.
It may sound a little self-serving. Maybe. I don't know. You be the judge.
John Taylor, what about that comment after our interview on self-serving? You might get a laugh right now.
They have to buy the Don't Crash course and watch it before they can. Is that self-serving? I don't know.
It is not. Oh, man. You know, this whole registration topic is a can of worms because, you know, people have said that they are worried that this is going to open even more question, even more disdain against the FAA.
If they continue to try and force it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a great opportunity for the FAA to kind of pivot, because we all know the reports that they use to justify this registration, the reports of the sightings, right? Even John Taylor mentioned this, the near sightings, right? Most of them were not near sightings of a drone. They couldn't actually prove it was a drone.
Right.
And he even said after the interview, if you go and look at UFO sightings, they tripled in the same period of time. So, you know.
They were three times as many as drone sightings.
Exactly,
which
yeah.
The drone sightings may or may not have actually been drones to begin with.
True.
True with UFOs as well, though.
Yeah, and my point in saying that is, okay, so if the documentation used to back up the we're trying to ensure safety because all these manned aircraft pilots are seeing drones and then we find out that those aren't actually legit – let's go back to square one. Okay, registration didn't work. How can you really impose a mentality of safe flying to people who just go out to, you know, Best Buy and buy a drone? For example, that whole Borders Mac team, they're using their brother to fly drones and he's not licensed. And it's like, guys, it's just a matter of time before something happens. Like,
yeah.
So it is what it is, you know?
Absolutely. And yeah, to that I say, just go get your darn 107. I mean, it's
really
ridiculous.
Not that hard.
It's
yeah, ridiculous. I think it actually says a whole lot about you if you're unwilling to spend $150 to go take a test.
And study a little bit.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that, you know, if you have that mentality and you have an investigation against you, someone might be like, well, if he's cheating out on this, I wonder if he's cheating on his taxes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess you could be a conscientious objector. I don't know what religion you'd put in there.
Let's take religion out of this. Let's not inject those things together.
Oh, come on.
No. No.
Yeah, definitely not.
Anyway.
Anyways, it was a good interview. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, John, thank you. And guys, we do want to hear from you. Please write in the comments below if you are watching on YouTube. You guys know it'll take a couple more days to get it on YouTube. If you're watching on iTunes, please go over to our Facebook page and leave us a comment. I want to hear from you guys what you think about this. And if you're a DroneU member, I will put a post in the private closed secret group on Facebook because I want to hear your responses as well. And now with 1,000 new students, it's like, whoa! So anyway, lots to hear from you guys. Thank you again. If you found the podcast useful, informative, valuable, please share it with a friend. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a review or subscribe on YouTube. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul.
My name is Rob.
This is Ask DroneU.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.